Greetings, travelers.
Greetings, travelers.
Yes, it is. What is it? Ancient is April, Alien April, right?
Wow, you're almost as bad as me. We're going to say the name of the episode we're doing and stuff and things.
Yep, it's Mark and Erica. We're back.
We think we're back. I
We
don't
think we're back.
know.
Have we ever really gone anywhere? I don't think we've missed an episode yet. I mean, we've been very good. I know some of these podcasts, they do seasons and then disappear for 3 months. What's that? We
We psh, psh,
who needs free
seasons.
time? Amateurs.
Yes. Okay. I do have some breaking news, though.
Breaking news.
So this is from the Irish Star. We'll post this note in the podcast links. But it says UFO shoots across surface of the moon as astronomer admits he, quote unquote, cannot explain it. So apparently, Dr. Sebastian Votmer, I hope I said that correctly, was recording the night sky when a mysterious object appeared through the lens of his telescope and he started scratching his head. So apparently, something sped across the surface of the moon, and they're saying that they can't explain it and they don't think it was a satellite and don't think it was a meteor because of how fast it was going, blah, blah, blah. So I know there's some back and forth on this, but I just think it's funny. This astronomer is not sure what this means.
Yeah, it's an unidentified flying object or UAP, unidentified aerial phenomena. It's something. And that's what all these things are. We saw something, we don't know what it is until it's explained. Yes, it's a UFO. Is it aliens? I don't know, because I looked at the supposed shots of it and I've seen other things like that too. I mean, that literally could be anything between here and the moon. You know, how many movies did we grow up with forced perspective? Do you remember like the Ray Harryhausen movies and stuff like that, where they'd film the monster close to the camera and the guy would be further back, and so it looked like they were, you know, it was a giant scorpion or something like that. That's the same thing when, you know, we're looking at the moon, you're looking through some of the space. It could be a satellite, but it was moving way too fast, they say. But that means it could be something closer to us that zipped along and just, you know, we caught the tail end of it because we were focused on the moon. As an old theater guy and movie guy and TV guy, that's I know tricks you can do with cameras. And that's when I look at these, I have to go, as much as I want to believe, I also go, that's not our definitive evidence yet. So
No, and I get it, but I mean, honestly, we know there's something out there, and we know that it's going to be more present, and we know it's coming, and
oh
so.
yeah, no, I still think, you know, we've had all these disclosure conferences and stuff like that with the government and all that, but it's still been a bunch of hoopla over nothing, and they're doing the same playbook they've been doing since time immemorium. It's you know, it's just we've explained 90% of this, and so stop worrying about it. Well, what's that other 10%? Just pretend to don't look at the man behind the curtain.
Ooh, shiny objects. Yeah, I gotta say it is interesting. It is interesting.
Yeah, and I think we're about due for another book on what really happened at Roswell, and it's, you know, it's going to be a
As a
while.
matter of fact, I know somebody who's writing that.
Oh yeah, but will it
He
be
knows
the
somebody who's writing that, and well, it's written and
yeah
it's going through an editing process. I have no idea why I know that, but
oh
it
what
is.
well
Do, do,
anyway. Yeah, so we've got some alien stories for you this month. That's what we're going to be doing. And we figured we'd tackle the granddaddy of them all, right? This is the one that has spawned how many seasons of television are there for Ancient Aliens now? I mean, was it 20 something seasons, I think,
yeah.
which is crazy. And then, you know, UFO Con. I mean, this really did, as much as X-Files brought aliens back into the pop culture, this was the next level, right? And the fact that they kind of took it seriously for a while, I get the problem now it's doing the same thing that as our favorite ghost TV shows have done now. It's now become television rather than actual debate and study and trying to get to the root of things. And
Yeah.
that is Ancient Aliens. And we're going back to the man who technically started it all, but we're going to discuss a lot about this guy. So you're going to see that I don't think he actually started it, but I do think he fanned the flames, right? But that may not be the best thing. And of course, we are talking about the great Eric von Däniken, who created The Chariots of the Gods, which I have several of his books in my hands currently, because he's the guy. When I was a kid in the 70s, and you go into that little library in Charleston, West Virginia, and I go into the section, and I'd read all six of the science fiction books that they had, and I read all three of the fantasy books. They did have the Narnia books, so that was good. But when I went over to the, I guess it was the paranormal parapsychology section, they had Chariots of the Gods and a couple others. And you start devouring those. Now, we just did, for our book club, for our Patreon members, we did Good Omens. And you remember in Good Omens, Adam, the Antichrist, suddenly discovers the books of Fortean times and stuff because the witch gives him these books. And since he can affect reality with his burgeoning powers, he's suddenly creating the ancient alien stuff is coming to life because he's reading these books on it. And that was, if I could have done that back then, that would have happened. We would have, the lost continent of Atlantis would have come back. We would have had all these things. But Eric's books are, they're the things that everybody watched, right?
Yeah.
Everybody read them, millions of copies in print from this guy. And he later goes on to co-found the Archaeology, Astronautics, and SETI Research Association. I guess they call it paleo contact, is his theory, where the aliens come down and they helped us build the pyramids. It's Prometheus, right? They gave us fire. They're the gods, and they gave us all the things. And it's because we were too stupid to do any of this on our own. So, and that's,
oh gosh,
that's where I draw the line on this theory, right? It's like, okay, so basically the whole premise of this is God an astronaut, right?
Yeah.
That was his whole premise. And so he goes and points out things like Easter Island, the pyramids of Egypt, you know, the Nazca lines, and the inscriptions in Mexico. The most famous is King Pakal and his tomb, and you know, how were they built, and what did they tell us about these cultures, and you know, are we finding these, you know, ancient things? There's a famous thing in archaeology, and I think it was Sir Richard Hoare, I believe his name. I that's a bad name to have, but he was a guy from the 1800s, and he said we speak from facts, not theory. And I think that was kind of the Hippocratic oath for archaeologists at that point. But then we come into this, and now we have paleo contact. And this guy is more of how do we describe him? He's from Switzerland, and he was kind of the modern equivalent of an amateur expert, right? He basically looks at these ancient objects and he interprets them completely different. We have the Baghdad battery. Do you remember that device?
Kind of. Why does that sound so familiar?
They dug it up. It looked like kind of a weird potato looking thing, but they thought it actually could generate power if it was filled with water and done some other things. And it does create about the equivalent of like a 9-volt battery of energy from this old clay and rock thing. So he's like, these runes, these symbols, these strange things are showing signs of contact with alien life forms. And
that's a bit of a stretch.
Yep. And he even goes into some of the Bible books and stuff like that and says, wait a minute, hang on a second. We've got, you know, this amazing truth here that the aliens came. And I've got to talk a little bit about this guy, right?
Okay.
No, because as a kid, I'm reading Chariots of the Gods, and I'm like, yes, this is the truth. This is what I've been wanting. This is everything. But to look at this, we kind of have to look at the guy, right, a little bit. before he writes this book, he has kind of a nice track record. Now, if you're writing a book on archaeology, if you're writing a book on science, if you're writing about these science things and you're questioning them, you want to have a little bit of a track record, right? You want to be this guy who knows the stuff.
Yeah.
Like us. I'm not saying we're schooled in this. We've been reading this stuff for a long time. Like I said, I've been 30 plus years studying this. But this guy, his record is more like what you would find on an episode of Cops. He has a very long arrest record for embezzlement, fraud, forgery. And not only is he in prison for this, that's where he writes his book. It's in
prison. Oh my gosh.
He also comes out of prison and becomes a hotel manager in Switzerland. That's when he's finishing his book, and that becomes Chariots of the Gods. Now, it's rejected by almost every publisher, and it even had a question mark. Chariots of the Gods? Question mark. They all pass on it, except one. And this one publisher goes, you know, let us have a real author rewrite this, and you could still get 7% of the profits. Now, does that sound familiar, Erica, yeah, as someone in the publishing field? Does that sound about right?
That sounds painful is what that sounds.
Yeah, pretty rough, but, you know, that's what you do. And now it hits, and it becomes a huge hit. And it basically set him up for life, right? Because this comes out in 1967, 68. And then he's arrested again because he's basically falsifying credit records and credit references. And he's convicted again for repeated and sustained embezzlement, fraud, and forgery. And what had happened was, because that had hit so big, he was using it to continue living like basically a Playboy magazine guy.
Oh my gosh.
He was using his fame to get loans and all this. So again, he spends 3 more years in jail, and that's where he writes his second book called Gods from Outer Space. And then they take the question mark off of Chariots for the Gods on its next printing, and it's just Chariots of the Gods.
Wow.
And he just keeps riding that bandwagon. So Daniken basically is not an archaeologist. And he's writing a book on archaeology. I think he's a rogue and a cavalier, and I'm all in on that. And living the Playboy lifestyle as he's writing about aliens. So I think he starts a trend there, right? So it's
kind of terrifying, actually.
Now, this guy, here we go. So the first thing he's talking about is the carved lid on the tomb of the Maya king Pakal.
Okay.
And his depiction is of a deceased king, and he seems to be seated in this. The way he looks at it immediately, remember 1968, we're launching astronauts up into space for the first times.
Yeah.
And he says it looks like a guy in a spacesuit going up into space in a rocket.
Okay.
But the real thing is it's supposed to be him falling into the underworld. And it's basically his rebirth. That's what we think now it could be. But honestly, we don't know. It's interpretation of art, and we're kind of just basing it on what we think. But that's what archaeology is. That's what this is. And so this guy has kind of taken this stuff and run with it. Now, his professional author that rewrote his book,
yes,
for him from the publisher, that guy is Wilhelm Utz Utermann, who was basically one of the screenwriters for the Nazis and all their propaganda movies.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Wow.
So that's the author that does this. So the mix of evidence, this guy. So you've got that. He talks about the Preres map, which
what is that?
This is a map that von Daniken claims it shows Earth as seen from space. It's actually a map that was compiled in 1513 by the Ottoman Empire, and this admiral, he basically, only one third of the map is around anymore, and that's actually in Istanbul somewhere. But he basically combined all the known maps and he put it together. And, you know, he says, oh, look, it shows Antarctica having mountains, and it's could only have been done by somebody flying over space, you know, from space and all that. And it was literally just done by this guy combining a couple world maps and who had been sailing quite a bit, but it's not the whole thing. And it only goes down a little bit. So it's not Antarctica. It's showing its bits of Africa. And yeah. Then he talks about the Nazca lines. Now, are you familiar with those in Peru?
No.
Okay. The Nazca lines. I feel like
I'm learning all kinds of new things.
Okay. This is probably one of the biggest things, literally the biggest things, because these are these giant pictograms that are made, or geoglyphs, I think is the proper term. They're in the Nazca Desert in southern Peru.
Okay.
And they were created somewhere, you know, we don't know, like 500 BC, we're estimating, but it could be as late as 500 AD, because we, yeah, there's no way to carbon date these things. Okay. And it basically made depressions, or, you know, incisions on the floor, and they took away pebbles and they left different, so it leaves different colored dirt exposed. And they look like giant figures. And they are animals and plants and like a giant spider and some other crazy things. It's first published about like the 1500s. And this one guy, one of those conquistadors, he writes about them as trail markers. And then somebody else said they look like roads. And of course, that means to our boy here, Daniken, he thinks that means they're aircraft landing strips for aliens, for their spaceships.
Oh.
Because the only way to view them is to be above and looking down on them. So just imagine these things stretching for hundreds and hundreds of yards. And if you're just looking at it from down here, it's literally just a rut. But if you go up a little ridge, oh, wow, it's a picture of a giant spider. You know, it's crazy. So
hey, look, there's a bat flying on the wall.
Yeah, exactly. So the Nazca lines are one of those, we don't know what it is. We don't understand it, but we think it was, they're praying to the gods. They're making things for the sky beings.
Okay.
But, you know, who knows? It could be. He argues that cart ruts in Malta had basically extraterrestrial purposes. And there's a couple of prehistoric sites that basically are tracks of rock. And we still don't know what they were for, but we think it was just, they made a road. It was a primitive road. It was a prehistoric road before the Romans started figuring out, oh, hey, we can make these better.
So, well, and it's true. People have to start somewhere. I think it's interesting that there's so much like, well, we can't figure out what this was. So obviously aliens.
Obviously. One of the guys we just did, what, 40 in February, right? So our wonderful guy, Charles Fort, comes out with his book, The Book of the Damned, in early 1900s. And he is the first one to suggest that there may be stuff out there, you know, that is trying to communicate, has communicated with us in the past, may communicate with us again. And he's talking about unusual things. And he talks about Easter Island and things like that that we discovered that makes no sense. The Moai at Easter Island and all that. And so maybe there were ancient, you know, that the gods maybe were extraterrestrial beings. He was the first to kind of really put that out there mainstream.
Yeah.
And then this other guy gets inspired by that. And that is our wonderful H.P. Lovecraft. And he kind of creates the Call of Cthulhu, right? In Weird Tales. And that's in the 1920s. Now, so he did not invent ancient astronauts, right? But that's kind of popularizing it amongst science fiction writers, right? He shares this mythology and it becomes this huge thing, and other authors start using it and all that, becomes the Cthulhu mythos. And we will do an episode on that, I'm sure, probably later on down the line. So, you know, Lovecraft inspired by Fort, you know, doing all these things. So another guy, Jacques Bergier, in 1960, he co-authors a thing with a guy named Louis Powell, two French guys, and they create a book called The Morning of the Magicians. And it's translated in the 1960s into English called The Dawn of Magic. So then in 1966, these guys are looking at that book, and these two guys in that are Carl Sagan and I cannot pronounce the other guy's name, Shkoklosky, whatever. I'm sorry, I don't know your name. But they discuss ancient aliens in a book called Intelligent Life in the Universe. They kind of just discuss that, you know, if life is out there, it's probably older than us and maybe further advanced than us. They start putting those theories. And so that's when, you know, it's the late 1960s now, alternate belief systems. This is when people are realizing nothing has changed since World War II, right? Their governments have lied to us. They've covered their things. Counterculture is becoming a thing. And a lot of new age beliefs start coming back, right? And we get a few things pop up, like cults and fun stuff like that. You know, not mentioning any names, Scientology, but other things. But also people start doing political protests. You know, this is the rise of LSD. Marijuana is becoming a big thing. And then the movie comes out 2001, Space Odyssey, right? And that actually is Ancient Aliens. Right? It's got the monolith that, you know, keeps appearing and changing our history and stuff like that. So, you know, we've got hippie culture, Cuban Missile Crisis, all that stuff. Flying saucers everywhere from the 50s are now coming back into the mainstream. And that's where we're at. And so this is the cultural road that Eric suddenly puts out, Chariots of the Gods, right? And it's published in German and translated to English.
I think
10 million copies.
10 million. Oh my God. We need to take a quick break though.
Yes, because we've got so much more, gang, and we will give you your travels in a bit.
Destiny Beard, the lyrical soprano who will haunt your dreams. With her alluring melodies and intricate harmonies, this dark siren of wistful song shall capture your soul and lead you into the night. Check out Destiny's new single, The Haunting Is Over, with international musicians Sam Haynes and Gary Bennett, as well as her other musical works at destinybeard.com.
The sweltering heat of the Florida sun breaks as a chill runs down your spine. A dark shadow looms from a nearby tourist trap. You didn't expect to find this kind of shade in Florida. If only there was some sort of travel guide to steer you through the spookier locales. Well, you're in luck, reader. Join author Mark Muncy and Carrie Schultz as they lead you through the darkest locations in the Sunshine State in creepy Florida. Available from History Press and at fine bookstores everywhere.
We're back.
We're back.
If I haven't pissed everybody else off already, all my Ancient Aliens fans, I apologize. Don't worry. There is stuff from this that we're going to get back to. There's some good stuff that comes out of this.
Okay. So what would that be?
Well, basically, the book comes out. Are we alone in the universe? How did we evolve? You know, must religious denominations dramatically revise God if God is less of a mystical force and maybe he's a giant monster from outer space? Yeah, no. You know, how are his angels able to come and help us and all this stuff? And, you know, did it change everything? So his book comes out, right? And let's go into the man himself. So he was a Catholic and was at a Catholic boarding school. And now I have some interviews with him. And one of them said, you know, as a young man, I was a deep believer in God. Am I still a deep believer in God? Do I know what God is? At that time, I was 16 and we had to make translations from the Bible, from Latin to Greek into German. And, God needed to have some minimum clarities. God can never make a mistake. God cannot use a vehicle to travel from point A to point B. And I realized that as I did this, God uses vehicles to move around. It has to. So that's when he started changing his theories. And most of his stuff is he embraces one of the non-canonical texts. Actually, one of my favorite books to read from ancient times is the Book of Enoch, which is a book of the Bible that was cut by the Catholic Church as, you know, this can't be. But that is the book that talks about a lot of strange things in the universe. And it actually has some fun scientific stuff in there. So we realize, okay, there's more to the Book of Enoch than I think this guy understood either. And I'll be honest, I'm not an expert on it. I've read it a couple times. Thomas Aquinas, the saint, cause and effect was his big thing in that. So that's all you really have to know, is that also is the one where the angels lived amongst us, bred with us, and created a race of giants and some other things like that. So that's where this goes. So the criticisms start coming out immediately from the book, right?
No.
Imagine that. So one of his quotes about that is one of my favorites is, I love the critics. Sometimes they're absolutely right and I am wrong. Hey, right off the bat, he admits. But I always learn. So when I get scientific critics, mostly they've never actually read the book and have never spoken with me. When we sit together correctly, not blindly, not lying, not trying to convince someone with false arguments, after an hour or two, I always learn something from the critic. And then sometimes they say, Eric, I did not know about these ancient texts, and they learned something. This is how it should be in an organized society. And I kind of agree with that. If we talk about this stuff, we can find some truths in this stuff. We can find some things.
True.
That, you know, there should be a mix of archaeology, history, science, and folklore, right? If we mix them all together, that's where we find our little bits of truth that actually fall through these things.
Yes.
One of the big things he did say was he did lose his Christian God, but never lost real God. And so that was one of his big quotes on this.
What does that mean? Like, there's a God that he doesn't
believe in the religion, but he does believe in the higher power.
Okay. I just wasn't sure if he had a different God completely, because there are a lot of people with different versions of the higher being, right?
Right, right. So here's where some of the things, you know, we go. This is why when we write about something, we go there, right?
Yeah.
Because we don't want to write about something that's just, somebody told us this, and so we're just respouting it. That's what so many... We call them the Wikipedia podcasters and stuff like that, that are just, you know, reading the things. This is actually something that he discovered, is like in Delhi, India, there's a temple, and in the temple's court is a pillar, an iron pillar. And he says the locals told him this iron pillar had been there for centuries, but it does not rust. So he, in the book Chariots of the Gods, said, is this pillar composed of extraterrestrial material? But he found out, after publishing, and that's in the book, that the damn thing is rusting. It's not anything. There's nothing special about it, but he'd never been there. So it was printed. It's published. That's what happens. So here's another one of his quotes. Thousands of years ago, some extraterrestrials landed on this planet. They acted like the anthropologists would do, learn the languages, observe people, and one day they disappeared. Before they left, they promised to return in the far future. That's the main story of my book, Chariots of the Gods. I never had any doubts about that main story. Underlining the main story, you find indications, but I was often wrong. For example, I wrote that the Upper Nile, near the city of Aswan, there is a little island which has the name Elephant Island. Now, this is true. It is called Elephant Island. But I wrote that seen from the air, the island has the shape of an elephant. How could the Stone Age Egyptians have known this? And this is information I received from a guide. Now, 2 years later, I found out that's all garbage. Elephant Island does not look like a shape of an elephant. It's all rubbish. So, at least he admits that. You know?
Wow.
But that's what happens is, you know, if we go into a haunted house and somebody says, this person died here. And we go, okay, that's good to know. And then the ghost starts talking to us and it's Rachel. She's back. Here's the ghost of Rachel. And then suddenly we find out there was never anybody named Rachel. It was, you know, it was just this guide made up a story and it's become truth. Our wonderful friend, the late, great Charlie Carlson, who did Weird Florida, he invented a couple of the stories in Weird Florida. He told me which ones he invented, but some of those have become gospel. And that's when we talk about tulpas. Maybe they've you know, so many people believe in it now, it's become a real thing. Anyway, he's like, so I was wrong in many of the details, but I was never wrong in the main story. There were so-called gods here, and I can prove this. I love his quote, I have stonewall arguments for this. And that's from a Playboy interview in the 70s. You know, he doesn't need to admit consistency, right? That's what he's saying. He's just saying there's enough doubt out there to keep it a mystery. And that's what I agree, that there is enough doubt out there. There is maybe some truth behind some of this, but the guy, I think, basically just said, hey, ancient people were too stupid to understand the stars. Ancient people were too stupid to understand some of these things. And no, I think we don't give them enough credit. I think they were brilliant. The things they came up with for the technology they had was incredible. And that's, you know, Stonehenge and the Nazca lines are these incredible things that took way more doing than we thought. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, there's pyramids in Egypt. There's pyramids in South America. There's pyramids in all these places. And how are they so perfect? Well, I think we found proof that they weren't always perfect. Some of them were, there's that one pyramid that kind of leans in Egypt that was like a proto pyramid. And as they were building up to scale, I think we all just kind of figured, oh, if we stack these things a specific way, look, they makes it real easy to stack the rocks.
Well, you know what? Another thing people don't take into consideration is that when things get rained on or weather or, you know, just stuff like that shifting, they don't usually stay lopsided because the way the water and stuff hits it will eventually cause some symmetry on things.
Yep. Anyway, this is what founds Ancient Aliens, right? We've also got, what, how many movies on this? My wonderful role-playing game, Fringeworthy, by the late, great Richard Jajalka, was founded on this premise, which becomes Stargate, the movie, when they ripped it off from the role-playing game. The Aliens series that you love so much, right? That's about Ancient Aliens, literally. You know, the whole Prometheus and all that. Of course, one of the Indiana Jones movies, one of the ones that shall not be named, but had a crystal skull in it and may have had ancient aliens in archaeology. So that's how much it's affected pop culture, right?
Well, and you know what's interesting is there's that group, and I can't remember the name of it, are the people that spoke that completely different dialect. They were larger humans and they spoke a different, completely like not following any of our genetic language skills. Like they talked themselves. Do you know what I'm talking about? The aliens, they're over in Europe.
Yeah, that one island. And then there's a couple of things in the Pacific that have the same issue where they have the different cultures. Again, the Moai on Easter Island, where did they go? What happened to them? Did they just massacre every tree and everything to move those giant statues around? And so they had nothing left on the island. Who knows? His theories were all that, you know, if you're in orbit and you need to land and need raw energy, you know, go to Nazca because it's where one of the largest mines in Peru is. And so here's the sign that says, come on down. We left the line in the ground for you, but basically it's wrong. It could be, but it's not, And I think he's trying too hard, but let's say now we're going to go into the early 2000s. All right. And you are a young Swiss kid and your parents are going to take you to a theme park.
Okay.
All right. And you're like, all right, this sounds great. I am excited because this is a place called Mystery Park.
Mystery Park. Dun, dun, dun.
And it's got all these pavilions, but you see, you know, let's say you're that kid, right? And you know, you're looking at the ads and it looks like something very like Epcot, right? Which was, you know, still not over there in Europe, but you see a girl panning for gold. You see somebody jumping up and down on bungee cords. And then you see spaceships and pyramids and sharks. And it's, you know, it's all over the place. And you're like, this is amazing. I have no idea what it is, but I can't wait to go there. And you finally get there. Your parents take you there. And the first thing you enter is a giant Egyptian pyramid. And it's going to explain to you the mysteries of ancient Egypt. You get in there and you're thinking maybe a roller coaster, maybe something else. It's a movie. And you come out and the exhibit is called Everything You Thought You Knew About Ancient Egypt is a Lie. The Egyptians didn't build pyramids using sleds. They had power tools, electric lights, and aliens gave it to them. And that is Chariots of the Gods, right? And that's, this whole theme park was based on Chariots of the Gods.
Wow.
The pavilions, oh my gosh, there's Nazca, which features the Nazca lines. There's Contact. There's the Mega Stones, which is Stonehenge. There's another pavilion based on the Mayan calendar. There's one called the Orient, which is basically the Pyramid of Giza. And then one called Challenge, which was basically about space flight and Mars exploration. And that's it. Basically, there was some central pavilion that was basically the Epcot sphere. And you could go up into the top of that and just look out at the park. It had nothing else to do. So Mystery Park, I like one of the Swiss newspapers called it the cultural Chernobyl.
Are you kidding?
That's the review from the Department of Sciences.
Wow.
So the Swiss Railroad Company advertised the park and they expected to have like thousands of visitors. They had a crop circle making competition and nobody entered it.
Wow. Okay.
And they basically, one guy came in and he's like, I'm going to show you how I do it because I make crop circles. And basically he set up a camera to show that the aliens were going to make this crop circle. And then it appeared overnight. But it was obviously man-made and also completely screwed up. And I even noticed the camera that was supposed to be watching it, the angles changed overnight to hide the guys.
Wow. Making.
So this opened in 2000. And by the winter of 2004, they basically had barely less than 20,000 visitors a year when they were expecting 500,000 visitors a year. And so it was in financial straits. They closed it. And then it reopens in 2009, 5 years later, called Jungfrau Park. And then it opened again in 2010, and then it closed again. So
yeah, big shock there. Big shock.
Big shock, right? Can't imagine why you wouldn't want to go to a theme park based on Chariots of the Gods. Now, if they called it Ancient Aliens, man, it would have been everything. So now we're going to go to modern times.
Okay.
We are going to go to the town of Blackpool.
Where is Blackpool?
In UK.
Oh my gosh.
And they were going to create a place called Blackpool Central, just off of what's called the Golden Mile.
Okay.
Which is a very touristy area. And the current company that owned it owned the rights to Chariots of the Gods.
Okay.
So they were going to create a Chariots of the Gods theme park, indoor theme park, in this parking garage area off the Golden Mile. So it's just going to be this 126,000 square foot venue. And it was going to be Chariots of the Gods. But now they have decided, okay, Chariots of the Gods has some bad press, but we still own the rights to it. So they're still going to base it off of his books.
Wow.
It's just going to be called Blackpool Central. And it was supposed to open in 2021. But thanks to the pandemic, it still hasn't opened, but it may open this year. So for those of you near Blackpool, if you want to give us an update and let us know if that's close to opening or what, I think I'm more excited about that than I am Universal's new land, except for the dark universe.
But, wow. There are so many things to unpack with this, because this seems like a terrible idea.
Right?
Like, literally. Oh, who is even still considering this? That's what I want to know.
This investment company that just happens to own the rights to his books. Now, he's still around. And he still talks. He's still on Ancient Aliens a number of times. They bring him on as an expert. So now he's been studying this for a long time now. So, you know, maybe that does give him a little more credibility. But I don't know. When you're still talking about things like the pre-Rees map and other things like that, that I think actually hurts your argument, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
That should have been, you know, at least he admits a couple of the things he did were, you know, controversial. And, you know, he's learned from his life that paleo contact, I mean, that's his money. That's his thing. So one of the things he also talked about, I forgot to mention, was he describes an expedition that he took to man-made tunnels in Ecuador, you know, this natural cave system. And the guide, he talks about mounds of gold and strange statues and a library containing metal tablets that he's, you know, convinced were proof of ancient extraterrestrials.
Okay.
When we go down there, there is, you know, no tunnels. There are those caves, but the gold artifacts and all this supposedly is basically brass stuff that's sold to tourists.
Wow.
There really is no tunnel. Again, this is why you must put boots on the ground before you go writing about these things, because that's, you know, he says he had that event never happen. And that's the kind of stuff we basically are like, wait a minute. You know, there's the bent pyramid at Cheops that shows that they were learning, you know, these things we learn from our stuff.
Yeah.
It's very much, we need to make the world European central. That's what they were trying. And this is what he was trying to do. And, you know, never celebrate the achievements of our ancestors. These guys made the Moai statues on Easter Island. They're incredible. They're feats of construction that are beyond belief. The pyramids are incredible to look at. And wow, when you go there, they are ginormous. They always seem bigger in your mind, but when you get there, they're still huge. And the Nazca lines flying over them is impressive as hell. And go there for that.
Yeah.
Be impressed that we did do these things. And, oh, they lined up with the stars. Yeah, that is something unusual. But don't discount the fact that we studied the stars. There wasn't a lot more to do back then.
Yeah.
You know, you don't just binge Netflix. You were watching the stars and watching the skies and things like that. Now, all that said, is there some truth to all this? That's what we've got to kind of wrap up with. We got to give people some glimmer of hope for those ancient alien theories and all that. I do say the Book of Enoch and a couple other things do describe some unusual things that happened in history. The ancient aliens, maybe not, but maybe, again, preternatural stuff that we still don't understand thousands of years later. And yeah. I think that's where I want to leave it, that there is more out there. He opened a door. He got people into this. People are studying things now more seriously. He got people into archaeology that would never have gotten into archaeology. But I don't think, you know, God is an astronaut. So
no, I agree with you on that completely. And I think that, you know, there's stuff that we don't know. We talk about that all the time. You just said that. For us to believe there are not aliens and aliens have not visited our planet, who knows what people in our past did with people? You know what I mean? Right. We have no idea.
Yeah, that's just it. I mean, that's just it. And unless we actually get our Wayback Machine to actually take us to places, we don't know what happened and we never will. We hope these things happened. We, you know, who knows? It is still an amazing read. I know it's nostalgia eyes that are telling me that these books were better than they were. I read them to death. My copies are beat to hell, as I'm showing Erica on camera here. How long have I had these since I was a kid? And they are beat to hell. And I'll read them. I'll read Charles Fort's book a little more, but I do enjoy My Chariots of the Gods and all that. And the things it spawned. And the documentary that came out about it won the Oscar for best documentary that year, including some phony stuff.
Oh my gosh.
That just shows you how much that best documentary award means, because look at some of the other documentaries that won over the years. So,
you know, I think I agree. I'm just going to agree with you at this point. Yeah. That, yeah.
Yeah.
There are some things we need to do.
Yep.
And look at.
The guy's written 20 books, I think, now. It's crazy. I mean, the most recent was 2020, War of the Gods. And he probably got another one in the works. So I don't think it's going anywhere. As long as he can still write, he's going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
At least now he's actually going to places and learning these things. Thankfully, he's admitting his wrongs, but he's still doubling down on others. But that's what you do. So I don't know. True. But thank you, gang, for going on this ancient aliens bit of debunking with us. But also, I'm still skeptical on a lot of things. So this is one. But I'm also, hey, let's look into it. There are some things out there that we can't explain from ancient times, but we need to study them more and figure them out. Let's not just jump to aliens. Let's look at other things. So
agreed.
And you can't argue that it is entertaining though. 21 seasons, you know, you're not gonna binge that in a day. So
that is so true. So true. Mark,
with
on
all that
note.
Yep. Alien April continues. Please like and subscribe, all that fun stuff. I'm terrible at this part, Erica. Why do I always have to do this?
You're brilliant at it. So keep it going, my friend.
All right. If you join our Patreon with our patrons, you can join our book club. This month we are doing one that is from one of my favorite authors, the great Al Goingbeck. We are talking, of course, about Crota, which has kind of some Lovecraft themes in that one. So we're very happy with that. We'll be doing our discussion on that at the end of the month. We've got all kinds of fun things on there. So you can join the Discord, share the latest breaking news with us and other things that we don't always share on here. We also have our live listener questions episodes and other things. We have our event calendar. If you want to see us live, it has been updated with some of the recent events. We're going to be at Encounter Quest this weekend, I believe, coming up in Hamlet, North Carolina, and a lot of great guests there, including a couple Ancient Aliens guys. So we'll see if they, you know, beat the snot out of me. There's entertainment for you. so when we get there, and a lot more events coming up. So follow us at eerietravels.com. And thank you all so much for your support. That's all we can say is this has been an amazing ride for us. We're continuing on the road and we're going to keep doing these as much as we can. We got 2 episodes a week still forever. And with that, I will just say thank you so much for joining us. Please look up at the sky, look at the stars, study them, and then look at the works of our ancestors and be impressed, man. These people were amazing. Look at the things they did and do that yourself. Go out there, start putting a couple blocks together, and the next thing you know, you've got a pyramid. And we will see you on the other side.